It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Gerard Mayo from this morning with Hillman and the gang. And also Ty Law was there. Maybe that's why Mayo was a little more relaxed. He had Ty Law lightening the mood a little bit.
Maybe.
Wasn't quite so serious.
Maybe he took a swig of Ty Law's vodka? Is it tequila? I forgot what it is.
It's vodka. It's pineapple. Well, according to Rich Keefe, it was pineapple-flavored vodka he had.
Rich Keefe seemed to enjoy it.
He did. Seemed to, for sure.
10 a.m.
The 10 a.m. Toast.
Shot of vodka.
It's not
one of those old ladies that lives to 95. And every morning, 10 a.m., shot of vodka.
And that's true. Really, I mean, my grandma's neighbor, who I called Aunt Lucy, she wasn't really my aunt, lived to be 105 years old. She drank, she smoked, and she was what? She had one of those reflectors. She'd sit outside her house with one of those reflectors, just soaking in.
Baby oiled up.
Yeah, and that 105 years old.
Good
and
genes.
Was healthy as an ox. Anyway, it just goes to show none of that crap matters. But that was Gerard Mayo there from earlier this morning with the Hillman. Speaking of ageless wonders, the Hillman there with some hard-hitting questions. And the QB competition, I think, is a topic that we can probably put to bed at this point until it, you know, pops back up again for whatever reason. If Brissett goes down, if he has a terrible game, if it seems like it's time for May to come in there, I'm ready to move on from this. I think that this this conversation has been really beaten into the ground, and there's only so much you can really say about it. The unofficial depth chart was compiled by Patriots Media Relations and has been circulating all throughout the interwebs today. And hearing that part of the conversation just about who's starting and how that all went and everything got me thinking about what this looks like right here. Here's what your unofficial week one depth chart compiled by Patriots Media Relations has for your starters. Jacoby Brissett starting at QB, no surprise there. Ramondre Stevenson will be your starting running back, followed by Gibson and Hasty. Your tight end, Hunter Henry, followed by Austin Hooper and Jaheim Bell, the only other two, I think, tight ends on the roster. Then it starts to get a little wonky. Your offensive line, here's your starting offensive line, unofficially. Starting at center, David Andrews, no surprise.
Yeah.
Starting at left guard, Sidy Sow, again, no big surprise.
He's hurt.
Starting at left tackle, Chukwuma Okorafor.
Mm.
How's that grab you?
Well, maybe we're big on the totality of the offseason, because if you remember at the draft, Elliot Wolf said Chukwuma Okorafor would be the starting left tackle.
Right.
So maybe we've just...
And then we saw him play right tackle.
but everything that's happened all summer apparently didn't matter, because Jacoby Brissett had a good spring, so mm-hmm. he won the starting job. Chukwuma Okorafor in April was the starting left tackle, so maybe that's why he's the starting left... What you saw in August, what you saw him lining up a yard and a half deeper than he's allowed to, and the ref getting all pissy with him and saying, again. None of that
Once
happened.
Again.
None of that happened. Just go back to the spring when they said Chukwuma Okorafor. Forget about winning jobs. The jobs were given in the spring.
You got to assume he's learned his lesson on that whole lining up a foot and a half back from the line,
sure about
right?
That?
You would think. I mean, you know,
I would have thought he wouldn't have done it more times in the same damn game.
True.
Because they warned him. That was the other part.
They did.
We saw three on live TV. That was like his fifth mistake, because they were warned previously before the game, and I believe Gerard Mayo said before they even threw a flag for one infraction.
Mm-hmm.
So he had at least five times where he didn't know where to line up.
It was horrible. I mean, it was really, really horrible watching that. And seeing all the plays get called back and just all the flags, and most of them coming from the Patriots and their discombobulated offensive line. So Chukwuma Okorafor, unofficially, your starting left tackle. Your starting right guard is the rookie Laden Robinson. And your starting right tackle is Mike Onwenu. Does this surprise you at all? Is this not what you were expecting in terms of who was going to be out there? I asked Brissett, is the offensive line settled or unsettled? He said, no, it's settled. We know who's going to be out there. If this is it, how do you feel about
it? He said settled, but I'm not sure the tone in which he said settled felt settling, if that makes sense.
You didn't believe him.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's totally sold. It's all settled. And part of that is the injuries.
You weren't settled that it felt like it was settled?
No.
You weren't settled on his settlement?
No, I absolutely was not. And that's not his fault. That's not anybody's fault. He's just trying to say the right. You know, he can't say, nah. It's a poop show.
Right.
It's an absolute poop show in here. I have no idea who's going to be lining up anywhere on the offensive line. No, I'm not sure I buy any of this. But again, this is the PR staff putting together their Very unofficial. I think they even put it like in bold and cap, all caps and stuff to make sure you really read unofficial part of it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they get in trouble. I've been in these meetings before, and then all of a sudden Florio picks up something and posts on Pro Football Talk that so-and-so is the starter.
Well, how accurate are these generally?
For the PR, they're doing what they think they've seen.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like, historically, when they put something like this out,
pretty good.
How accurate.
Yeah, it's probably
usually 90%. Right on, right? Yeah, sure.
But this offensive line is a unique situation where everybody's been bouncing around. They've been trying different combinations, and it doesn't help that Lowe and So are hurt.
Right.
If they were healthy, I think they were both starting. I think Vidarian Lowe was going to be the left tackle if he's healthy.
Lowe they have as the first backup for a core of four. So they have starting. I mean, they have him starting at left guard with Leverett being the backup.
Yeah, Leverett. Who can't back up the center job. Who's the backup center?
Also Leverett.
Yeah, not great, Bob.
Your right guard backup is Zach Thomas, and not the Zach Thomas, the offensive lineman Zach Thomas, and your backup right tackle is the rookie Caden Wallace. So there you go. Real quick, just
I feel like we need The Rock here. Who do you think starting at left tackle?
It doesn't matter
who's starting at left tackle. He's going to suck. He's going to be a problem. He's going to get beat. He's going to have a penalty, and he's going to have a... I don't know where my friends at FanDuel, if I could bet penalty... and sack allowed by the left tackle. If I could parlay those two together, I would love it because I think there's a really good chance that your left tackle is going to have a penalty and a sack allowed. I don't care who it is. You pick, insert name here.
Any one of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Lowe, Demontre Jacobs.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
Yeah, sorry, Chooks. Just doesn't matter. All right, here's your starting wide receivers just before we move on from this. Pop Douglas.
Yeah.
Jalen Polk.
Yeah.
KJ Osborne.
Love it.
You love that?
I mean, in terms of accuracy, I think that's going to be your starting receivers, and I think Tyquan Thornton will be the first off the bench.
Well, I thought Thornton was the best receiver in Kent. You know,
this is regular season time.
Right?
Thornton's good in the summer, but this is regular season time. This is where we jump to the other
side. When's KJ Osborne been such a big star? Then you know?
He's not great, but he's a veteran, made a little money. I don't know what you want me to tell you. The receivers aren't great either.
No, they're not.
I'm trying to put a lot of lipstick on this pig.
Your backups are Tyquan Thornton backing up Jalen Polk as Kayshon Booty. Baker is buried behind Thornton there at wide receiver two, and there's no backup slot receiver for Pop Douglas. So it's going to be a lot on him there, I would imagine.
Baker, healthy scratch.
Yeah.
Want to bet?
Wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't take the...
I wouldn't either.
I mean, there'd probably be some juice on the other side, but I wouldn't take it. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones here. A lot of you waiting patiently to talk Patriots. Bob is down the Cape. Go ahead, Bob.
I saw the Lions this week, and the Patriots have the biggest spread, you know, compared to everybody else at 8.5 points.
Yep. I saw that. I don't know if that's moved at all.
It's 9.5
over the weekend.
Some places.
I think, yeah, some places it was even higher than that, I believe. But yes,
that's great.
That's what it looks like, Bob. Yeah.
Oh, they're probably going to lose by, I don't know, 15 anyway.
Yeah, probably. I mean, listen, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you.
They're a bad team going against a Super Bowl contender. I saw somebody did their MVP predictions. It was Joe Burrow got 2 of the 4 votes.
Oh, really?
So they're going against a MVP caliber quarterback who may or may not have 2 elite receivers, but he'll have at least 1 pretty good receiver out there. They're expected to compete for a Super Bowl, and you're expected to compete for the number 1 pick.
Yep, absolutely. There are not a lot of big lines this first weekend, which is interesting. Chiefs, 3 points. Eagles, 3. Falcons, Steelers, it's Falcons, 3.5. Buffalo, Arizona, 6.5 for Buffalo, which I think they're going to have a tough season. The Bengals at 8.5 is the biggest one by far, and then after that, yeah, it's Buffalo, and then Seattle. 6-point favorites over Denver at home in at Lumen Field. So, yeah, there you go. Other than that, everything's like under 4. You really don't have much in terms of spreads.
Well, this is the biggest. If you were going to do power rankings and then the delta between the two teams,
yeah,
this is a matchup of like a top 4 team versus a bottom 2 team.
Yeah.
Right? So you're talking about like a 24 slot difference in power rankings.
Carolina, we all agree, sucks, right?
Yes.
They're playing New Orleans. New Orleans is favored by 4.
Yeah. New Orleans is not as good as Cincinnati.
They're not.
So, I mean, this should be a big spread. Doesn't mean they can't win. Doesn't mean the Jamar Chase thing doesn't affect the actual winability or the ability of the Bengals to take care of business. Like, they have some questions on their side of the ball. If I'm a Bengals fan, I am definitely waiting to see how my guy Joe Burrow looks when he plays a full game. And maybe he gets hit in that whole wrist thing. And maybe he has to throw 35 passes or whatever the number is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, they... Bengals have some questions too, but I mean, the Patriots have as many questions as any team in football.
Yeah, they're riddled with questions. The other rookie quarterbacks, in case you were wondering, I just told you Bo Nix is a six-point dog in Seattle. Jaden Daniels in Washington, 3.5-point dogs in Tampa. And the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams, 3.5-point favorites at home against the Tennessee Titans. So there you
Makes
go.
Sense.
The other rookies aren't quite getting the same handicap that you are. But, yeah, big spread for your New England Patriots. 617-779-7937. Walter is in Worcester. Go ahead, Walter.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Walter?
You know, I'm doing all right. I don't want to always be negative or Archie Rodman. I'm really trying hard. He makes it so easy to just think more and more every day that he's a buffoon. I don't understand what this guy is thinking. His explanation today, well, you have to go all the way back to spring, then it wasn't a competition. How could you say out of one side of your mouth it was a competition and then say you made the decision because you were winning all the way back to the beginning of spring? Then it wasn't a competition. And he still won't man up and say this wasn't his decision. This wasn't his decision. This was not his decision. And the guy is starting out from a position of weakness, in my opinion, and that is not a great place to start. I think the Cincinnati game is going to be a disaster, and I honestly think May is going to be in there within a few weeks because the fans aren't going to stand for it.
Yeah, Walter, you might be right. Fans might not stand for it. The crafts might not stand for it. There could be a lot of external pressure, I think, to move on to the rookie and at least try him out. And it's not like, you know, it's not like Michael Bishop and Drew Bledsoe where people just wanted to see Bishop because, you know, he could run and throw the ball 80 yards and because they were tired of Bledsoe. Bledsoe was still an effective quarterback, and he was a first overall pick and everything else. This is not that. I mean, this is what everybody thinks the plan is. They just want the plan to start a little quicker than the Patriots are comfortable with.
Do you think that Gerard Mayo should just unilaterally be making the decision? Like, not talking to Alex Van Pelt, not talking to Ben McAdoo, not talking to anybody else, Elliot Wolf, just saying flat out, nope, I'm doing this because, damn it,
without
I'm the head
any
coach.
Input from anyone else?
That makes no sense to me.
No, I don't think so.
That'd
no.
be like me making a plumbing decision. I'm not a plumber. Like, and just saying, no, I know the plumber said we should do this, but damn it, I'm not doing what the plumber said. I know more than him. I actually Googled it, and I watched a video, and we're doing
it this
way.
You sound like some of my relatives during COVID right now, honestly.
Like, I don't know what people want. I think he made the decision with the advice of the offensive experts. He has a bunch of offensive experts and scouting experts around him. Now, the part of Walter's question, like the whole totality of the spring thing bothers me. You know, this reminds me of, I remember years ago, Belichick showed the Patriots some clip of some race. It was a horse race. And it was like at the first turn, who's leading? Oh, who do you guys think are going to win this race? Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, that horse, he's way ahead.
Yeah.
And then he plays the race out, and a horse that was way the hell back won. And it was like, you know, you the early season, you don't win the Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. But this feels like, well, Jacoby Brissett was leading the race at the first turn, so he gets to win the race. Well, yeah, but we played the rest of the race, and it really seemed like Drake May caught him and then passed him at the finish line, right?
No.
Nope, go back to the beginning.
First turn
is where we decide races. That's what this feels like to some degree to me. And I know people think, you know, Tom Curran thinks it would be like craziness to play Drake May. Tom Brady, craziness to play Drake May. Dan Orlovsky, everybody, craziness to play. That's the way business is done. You know, to steal the Belichickian phrase, do business is being done. I have advocated for, I've said this before, I think all rookie quarterbacks should have to sit 1 year. Redshirt, you'd have to force them because NFL owners are never going to do it. Coaches and GMs are never going to do it if you leave it up to them. Force them all to sit.
That would really suck for the Houston Texans.
Right, but you know what? This year, I bet you he'd be really good.
Maybe, he was really good last year.
But maybe even better. And I think in the totality,
why won't he just get better naturally after having a very good rookie year?
Okay, you're picking the greatest rookie season in the history of the game. Focus on the bigger picture
point.
Okay,
well, this is why it doesn't make sense, though.
So the one disproves all the others where you might have had
others?
Better.
There's lots of other rookie quarterbacks who played right away.
Zach Wilson, if he didn't play, maybe he would have been competitive in year two. All the other Jackals, the other guy that's starting in Minnesota now from the Jets, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield. All these guys that were thrown out there, could they be better? Yes, I think there is a chance they could be better if they just watch. I think anybody in any job, if you had the luxury of collecting a paycheck for a year, watching somebody else do it, learning the ins. Hell, Tom Brady did it.
Baker Mayfield was good his rookie year anyway. So.
Who?
Baker Mayfield.
He was actually pretty good, but yeah. Then he fell apart. All of these guys. I think all of the, if you, wait a minute. Let's pause. You don't think quarterbacks would benefit from a redshirt year?
No.
Because if so. That's
the
dumbest thing I've ever heard on sports talk radio.
That's the dumbest thing you've ever heard?
If you don't think guys would benefit from a year off and a year of learning and a year of experience, That is maybe the dumbest thing I've heard on Sports Talk Radio.
As opposed to playing. You don't get experience from playing in the NFL.
You also get challenged and crushed in ways they're not.
You just said it's dumb.
So you think
These are rookie quarterback. They're in the NFL. They play. Most of them play. They get out
there
and they
play. They've never seen defenses anything like this. They've never called plays anything like this. They've never been under the day-to-day scrutiny, most of them, unless you're in the SEC at Alabama or one of those schools.
And a lot of them are going to suck regardless of whether they have a redshirt year or not. So what's the difference?
That's true. You don't think more of them would succeed if they had a redshirt year?
No.
Wow.
No, I don't.
I don't have any argument to that because it's universally accepted that that's the truth.
Universally accepted by who?
Everyone I've ever talked to about it.
Did they universally accept that?
You're taking the one off. You're taking the one off.
Mac Jones had a good rookie year.
Mac Jones was a jag as a rookie.
So what? He had a good rookie year. Did he not have a good rookie year?
Because he was less of a jag than the other guys he was facing. It was the most overrated season in history. We all know that. We all know that you can cherry pick it. It was the most overrated rookie season we've ever
seen. You said Baker Mayfield. He went out there and won 7 games his rookie year.
Absolutely.
Yes, he was very good. There was no reason
to
redshirt
him. And I think he would have done that in year two and had a better overall career if he had had the year off. Just like I think every quarterback would be better.
Okay, that's hypothetical. You have no idea if they would have or not. I think if Patrick Mahomes had played his rookie year, the Chiefs probably could have won another Super Bowl. There was
So what?
Then his career would have been better? To say that's the dumbest thing you've ever heard in sports radio is ridiculous.
He's almost the greatest quarterback in the history of the sport, and he sat out his rookie year.
Yeah.
So if you want to cherry pick, I can cherry pick that.
If he had played, I think he still would be the greatest quarterback in the history of the
Patrick Mahomes. Hall of Famer, Aaron Rodgers. Hall of Famer, Brett Favre. If you want to cherry pick, I'm talking about in totality. You take every quarterback drafted in the last 50 years. If they all sat a year, the whole entire group would be better.
I disagree.
How can you say that?
You don't know that. It's a hypothetical. How can you possibly say that and say that it's 100%
because they would be more mature. They'd have a year in the system. Just like
Jacoby
Brissett.
Why don't they just stay in college another year then? What do they even got to get called up in the NFL for? I mean, come on.
In college, they're not learning the offense they're going to run in the NFL. If they're actually in the building.
They're not learning it when they go and play in the game? They're not learning it
when they
play.
In college, they're not learning the offense they're going to run in the NFL.
Okay, when you're a rookie,
if they stay in college, if you're in the NFL and you stay there, you're going to have the same coach with the bulk of the same
teammates. You don't know you're going to have the same coach?
For the most part, you will. Now you're just being obstinate.
No, I'm not.
If you think they're going to get the exact same experience in college as they will learning in the actual system and world environment that they're going to play in.
Learning, you can learn on the job, can you not?
I'm not going to learn the Patriots offense at North Carolina.
That makes no sense. I'm saying playing as a rookie. Which you think is the dumbest thing of all time. If you play as a rookie, you don't learn the offense? You got to sit on the sidelines
and watch? You said stay in college. I'm picking that point.
Okay,
you said stay in college and they can learn. They don't learn anything about being an NFL player in that system, in that team that's going to draft them, by staying in college.
And you think they would learn that
in the meetings and the film and everything that goes on at that place.
But not playing. Playing, they're not going to learn.
But there's no damage to sitting, correct?
I don't know that.
Okay, what's the damage? Other than the lack of reps. But if everybody's doing it, you're not behind anybody.
Lack of reps, I think, is a problem.
But you're getting reps at the same time as everybody else. Every rookie quarterback
would
get reps
in
year
two.
Just like people used to redshirt in college. It was the way
they developed players. So you're missing an entire year of reps just so you can, sit in the meetings?
Correct.
Like, I don't think that's...
All right,
shut up! Jesus!
And you don't think on average the quarterbacks coming into the league, if you were looking at this from a league perspective, not a myopic singular team perspective of one player, you don't think on average more quarterbacks would succeed if they sat out the first year than were thrown to the Wolves?
No, not really.
Wow. Okay. I mean, if you believe that.
For Jake Locker, I mean, there's examples on both sides. Jake Locker redshirted his first year behind Hasselbeck and how did his career go?
Right. You can cherry pick, and I'm talking about on totality, everybody, however many quarterbacks have been drafted the last 50 years.
Okay.
I think it's in any job, quite honestly. I think any job in the world, if
any
you have
job
the
in
opportunity
the world, you should not
to
do
watch
the job when you get
learn,
hired for it. You should just sit there and watch other people do it, and then you do it the next year?
Wait a minute. You don't think every job in the world you can learn by watching and observing and seeing people make mistakes and successes and failures and planning for it?
Of course you can, but if you're hired to do that job, then you do the job. You don't sit there and watch other people do it.
The rule was you didn't start till your second. You're fixating on, you can't think of the hypothetical. It's not that hard. If the league rule was every quarterback redshirted for the best interests of the game and the league and the quarterbacks, then you're not missing anything. You're not losing anything.
If that's the rule for everybody in the NFL.
Are you not listening that I said it should be a rule because owners and GMs and coaches
stupid rule, Andy.
It isn't.
It's
though.
A stupid rule. You're signing someone to a contract. You're literally the only person I've ever heard.
Asked a lot of people about this. A lot of people that work in the NFL. A lot of people that work in football. And you're literally the only person I've ever heard call it stupid because most people can understand the pure logic of it.
You certainly didn't ask anybody there.
I think the people in Houston would have been fine with it because they would have had confidence that in year two, he would have been just as great or greater.
Houston, they definitely would have wanted him to sit out and not play last year.
See, what you're missing is you're bringing a present tense idiocy to a hypothetical.
How is it idiocy? They made the playoffs.
If the rule was you sat, you would sit. So they don't care what they're missing. It's the rule. It's the way business
is done. That's ridiculous.
And in the end, everybody would be better. That's the reality.
So the NFL, this billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar business,
yes,
is going to be hiring the most important person, most marketable probably player on their entire team that they're bringing in and doing all this for and getting ready to pay all this money to and all of that, and then they're going to just wipe out one of their rookie years where they have them under cost control.
And let me guess, you're going to say it's a five-year deal. If it was a rule, it might be a six-year deal. Like, you're bringing, again, present
tense idiocy. It doesn't matter how many years it is.
To a hypothetical,
you're taking away one of those years. Whatever the amount is, you're taking one of them away. You're basically wiping it off the board. Yes, you are. Because you're not getting any production from this person because they have to redshirt. They have to sit there and watch, and they can't play.
Maybe you're giving yourselves 10 years of production on the back end because he doesn't get ruined.
Well, how do you know he's not going to get ruined anyway?
He might. But there's a better chance he won't because he'll be better prepared.
Better chance how? I mean, I'd like to hear these
better
numbers.
Better prepared.
Better prepared. What numbers?
I don't need numbers. This is bringing logic and common sense to the topic, not numbers. What numbers are you talking about?
I'm talking about quarterbacks who redshirted and actually did that and how it actually
worked out. Well, it's a limited number because it's not how business is done. That's the whole point. That's why
I started. Why isn't it how business is done?
Because they are impatient. Owners have your mentality. They don't have a long-term approach.
They think they should get some return on their investment then.
Absolutely. And that's why it would have to be a rule to make it work, because you'd have to protect themselves from themselves.
All right, we have to take a break.
I know we're getting flash for a while.
Yes, stop flashing us, Joe. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we come back, we will make some predictions for the upcoming season.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Let's try to cool down the temperature a little bit in the room. My goodness, Trending Now is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Red Sox fell in their series opener last night to the Mets 4-1. It was their fourth loss in the last five games. They sit 4.5 games out of a playoff spot. They'll try to rebound tonight in game two of the three-game series. You can hear Will Fleming and Lou Maloney on the call from Citi Field at 7:10 on the Shaw's Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Cutter Crawford will get the start for the Sox opposite David Peterson for the Mets. Cooper Boardman will get everything started with the Mass Mutual pregame show at 6:10. Mass Mutual Insurance Planning Investments. Patriots players had a day off from practice today as they prep for their season opener in Cincinnati. Some notes in the past couple of days. Caleb Jones, an offensive tackle, was signed to the practice squad by the Pats. Also, O-lineman Vidarian Lowe and City So remain out. Staying in football in New England, Boston College pulled off the upset over 10th-ranked Florida State. 28-13, Bill O'Brien's first game as a head coach. That knocked out Florida State from the AP Top 25 as the Seminoles now sit at 0-2. The Eagles will play in their home opener at Alumni Stadium this Saturday against Duquesne for a 3:30 kickoff. Some other football news going around. Trent Williams is ending his holdout as he and the 49ers agreed to restructure his contract to a three-year, $82.6 million deal. This includes $48 million guaranteed. And Cam Hayward and the Steelers have agreed to a three-year, $45 million extension with $16 million guaranteed. The Bruins had captain's practice today. Jeremy Swayman was among those who participated. Swayman in the middle of contract negotiations for an extension. Training camp does start on September 18th. And staying in the NHL, Oilers and forward Leon Draisaitl have agreed to an eight-year, $112 million extension. The $14 million average annual value makes him the highest-paid player in league history. Most goals have a clear course, like planning a trip, but when it comes to losing 40 or 50 pounds, that's a different story, except with Awaken 180, a clear course to fast, proven weight loss with free support for life. Awaken180weightloss.com. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Back here at WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arkin, Andy Hart. We just had a spirited debate about whether or not quarterbacks should redshirt their first year. Someone on the text line says we are now all dumber from having listened to that. You're probably right about that, but let me just say it's not our job to make you smarter, all right? We're not the college professors.
No.
We're the sports talk radio hosts who have a very different opinion on whether or not you should bench your rookie quarterback, mandatory benching of your rookie quarterback to start his career. But either way, we're not here to talk about that right now, although we may revisit it at some point this week, since now I know it's a hot-button topic here between the two of us. But what we are going to do right now is give you some predictions for the upcoming season. We started this yesterday as we told you who we thought was going to lead the league in passing, receiving, and rushing, both in the NFL and on the Patriots. Now we are going to go to some of the awards for the season here, and we'll start with the rookies of the year. Offensive rookie of the year. Let's start with the defensive rookie of the year, since that's less interesting. Who do you think will be the defensive rookie of the year, Andy Hart?
So I am going to go with, and we're going with NFL first here.
NFL first.
Yes. NFL first. I think it's sometimes a safe bet go with the obvious one, the first defensive player drafted after, 13 straight offensive players to open the draft. Latu with the Colts. He's that guy. He's a edge rusher, defensive playmaker guy, went to Washington, UCLA, had that weird retirement. He thought his career was over. By pretty much everyone's opinion, he's like the most pro-ready. And that's what you get. A front seven playmaker is often your defensive rookie of the year, so I'll take Latu.
Latu is a good pick. I'm going to go with Dallas Turner on the Vikings in that Brian Flores offense. I think you're right. Any edge rusher who's a rookie who gets a bunch of sacks is going to be in the last 6 or 7 years, it seems like. That's who usually gets this award. So I'm going to go with Turner. I think that scheme's a little bit more conducive to getting to the quarterback, and I just like Flores' defenses. So there you go. Offensive rookie of the year.
I'm going to go with the obvious one here. Again, he was the first player selected, and I think he landed in a nice setting for him. You mentioned it. He's favored in his first NFL game. Caleb Williams, he's still got some polarizing characteristics to him, and there are people that don't like him, including Rich Keefe's wife, apparently, who thinks he's going to stink. But he's got receivers. He's got a defense. He's got the opportunity to win some games and I think put up a lot of numbers. And don't forget, he's kind of a freakish talent if you actually watch him play.
Yeah, he does have all the tools around him. He has been set up by his team for success. I feel like I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't go with Marvin Harrison Jr. That's who I wanted them to draft initially. I know he's on a team that doesn't always have the easiest time moving the ball, but I think he'll be an asset to that offense, and I think he takes it home. All right. Who will be the Patriots? I mean, they only drafted one defensive rookie, so I guess it would have to be him. Who will be the Patriots' offensive rookie of the year?
By the way, I gave my Patriots' defensive rookie of the year to Gonzo. He only played in 3.5 games. I'm going to do like a baseball world type thing and say he can still win rookie of the year for the Patriots.
Not enough service time.
Offensive, I think it's the guy you went over the starting lineup on offense. Jalen Polk is listed as a starter. From what I've seen, they're going to give him every opportunity to catch a lot of passes, and I think he's going to catch a lot of passes. I think he's going to have a 50-plus catch rookie season, potentially. And I think for this team, that's going to be their rookie. I wanted to say May, but I don't know.
We both want to say Drake May.
Yeah.
We disagree on something. We both agree we want it to be Drake May. I'm going with Polk as well. I think that, Javon Baker sort of talked his way right out of any that conversation as far as that's concerned. All right, let's get to the defensive player of the year in the NFL. I can tell you who the odds leader is if you want, but I'd rather hear who your pick is first.
So mine has a caveat, and I think his candidacy is going to take off dramatically somewhere around week 5 or week 6 when Bill Belichick takes over his team. Micah Parsons, who is LT 2.0, or the closest thing Bill Belichick has said, when he starts coaching him, Micah Parsons is going to be your defensive player of the year.
Micah Parsons leading in a lot of sports books right now. Him and TJ Watt's usually one of those two as the leader now for the preseason decision there. I'm not going to go with either one of those two guys, even though I like them both a lot. I'm going to go with Aiden Hutchinson.
Oh.
I think he comes up out of nowhere. He had a big year last year. But what he was doing last year, I think, was very noteworthy. I think he continues with that, and if he can stay healthy, I think he'll be right there in the mix. So I'll go with Hutchinson and your offensive player of the year.
Offensive player of the year, as I picked on FanDuel already, Saquon Barkley. I watched him in that Eagles offense in joint practices, and I still think some people don't remember he's actually on the Eagles with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Jalen Hurts. I think that has a potential to be a really potent offensive attack. I think he's going to get some of those Christian McCaffrey matchups. Give me Saquon Barkley.
All right, I'm going to go with a, pretty obvious one, I'd say, Christian McCaffrey. Considering what he was doing last year, again, the guy's got to stay healthy, and I think that if he does, he can pass Tyreek Hill, he can pass CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, all those guys. A multi-use back who can catch the ball like that and put up those kind of numbers. I mean, he was a touchdown a game, basically, it seemed like last year, and continued that through the playoffs and even into the Super Bowl. He was still very, very effective, even though he was all banged up. He has dealt with injuries in the past that could rear its head here with this guy, but I'm going to go ahead and say that he locks down the Madden. He breaks the Madden curse and takes home Offensive Player of the Year. All right, who will be the Patriots Defensive Player of the Year?
Before I get to that, I mentioned I took Saquon Barkley on my FanDuel app for the Offensive Player of the Year.
Long odds for him. Yes,
and I like it. FanDuel's got something special for our listeners right now. Be sure to check out FanDuel's Profit Boost in the app and use it for FanDuel's Double Your Winnings for all Sunday, September 8th, pregame Moneyline bets. Profit Boost will be live starting Friday, this Friday, September 6th. View your account page to learn more about your boost. Patriots Offensive Player of the Year, I think it kind of has to be Ramondre Stevenson. I feel like, again, I said it yesterday when we were talking about rushing. Mm-hmm. If Ramondre Stevenson isn't the centerpiece of this offense, well, I don't know what the centerpiece is. Then I really think Alex Van Pelt's going to earn his money, because I think he needs something to count on. Kind of like we were talking about with Cora. You need some tent pole to count on.
Right.
That has to be Stevenson. Stevenson has to rush for 1,200 yards, and he needs to catch about 45 balls. And if he does that, he's the Patriots Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I think that's all it's going to take. Stevenson was someone I was going to go with. I'll use my backup, though, Hunter Henry. If he can get open in the red zone, if he can get, you know, put up 10, 11 touchdowns this year, I think it's going to be hard to say otherwise. I know, it's a lot.
11 touchdowns? You want to bet on that?
They zoom in on him. If they make him the focal point of that offense in the red zone, which is what it seemed like they were doing that first year with Mac. What do you have, like 8 touchdowns that year?
I think 8.
I think so. I mean,
I don't believe he's ever been double digit in his career. And I think that's going to be tough with this offense.
It probably will be. But if anybody can do it, I would say it's probably him. That's what it's going to take. That's probably ambitious to say he'll get double digits. But he'll probably lead the team in touchdowns. Let me put it to you that way. In receiving touchdowns, I think it'll be Henry. And that'll be enough for me to make him the Offensive Player of the Year for your New England Patriots. So there you go. Those are our picks. I like Hutchinson. I like McCaffrey. He likes Micah Parsons. And your offensive player is Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
And for your rookies of the year, give me the name again, Latulu. Is that
Latu.
How you say it?
It's just Latu.
Latu.
L-A-T-U,
right.
I'm not sure that's pronounced right. That's what I'm saying, Latu.
Very good. All right, 617-779-7937. There is your phone number. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it was a big night for the Boston College Eagles last night. We'll discuss that, and we'll get to your phone calls as well right after this. John Meter Perrell on the call there is the BC Eagles, maybe the saviors of the Boston sports universe, as they take out the Florida State Seminoles last night, a Florida State team that is floundering right now, much the way the Red Sox are. And a big night for Bill O'Brien and the Eagles. Real quick, before we delve further into this, and also we have some new Bill Belichick from his Underdog podcast with Matt Patricia. We have new sound on that, him talking about the Patriots and the offseason that they had. So we'll listen to that in just a second. Do you think that all rookies should redshirt or just quarterbacks?
Well, I mean, I think you could make an argument for all, but I think quarterbacks is the hardest position.
Okay, but you don't think every player at every position should do that? You just think only quarterbacks?
I mean, do I think they would all be better in the long run if they did? Absolutely. It's why they used to have redshirt years in college before everything got sort of compressed and accelerated and all of that, was because the long-term development of a high school athlete into a college athlete was improved by nutrition, workouts, learning the system, growing, becoming not a professional, I guess, a student athlete as opposed to just a kid in high school.
Fine.
I know you don't care for it, but there's a quite logical reason for it, and it makes sense despite your fighting back against it.
Against this hypothetical thing that's never, ever going to happen because
I never said it was
going to
happen.
Right?
I said it would be the best that we're not doing this again. We're not going down this road again. We don't have time in this show.
I wasn't
sure.
We
can revisit this.
If it was something you meant for every rookie, you're just quarterbacks.
Well,
this dumb
again,
idea you have.
I think every rookie would benefit, but quarterback is different, right? You are thrown to the wolves in a sense. The eyes are on you. You got to do press conferences. Like, there's just a lot more that goes into being a rookie quarterback than any other position.
So you think media training and all that should be part of the redshirt thing, too? I mean, it should not just, you know, being on the field. It's all, you know.
Yes, you becoming a professional.
You don't think college programs do that? You don't think Alabama gets their guys ready for the media? You know,
Nick Saban was notorious for keeping all his players basically out of the media. They barely had to speak at all. When they did, it was quick. When it was like manage.
Right.
Hell, Dion is keeping away reporters.
Training. Yes. That's the point. I think that's what he was doing. Saban trains those guys. He trains them on how to talk to the media.
They never got any experience answering questions. Maybe it's part of why Max sucked at it when he got here.
Max seemed like he was trained to talk that way.
I thought Max sucked.
Well,
I thought he said nothing and came off scared douchey was the way I described him as a rookie.
Fine, but
no
I think
one liked
that was
him, including Ninkovich, who wanted to slap the out of him.
That's true. I do think that was something that Saban does to train his player. I think he trains them for that.
Yeah, but they don't actually have to do the interviews. I talked to Rodak, Mike Rodak, who used to cover the Patriots here, covered Alabama, and he was like, "These we barely get to talk to him. Saban keeps them under his thumb. They don't get reps.
Cool.
Fine. All right. Well, either way,
don't try to poke the bear and get me going again.
Well, I'm just saying, I wanted to know if that applied to everybody. I didn't know if it was just a quarterback thing or something.
It's not a real rule.
I know. I know it's not a real rule. I was talking about your hypothetical rule.
If it were, but I think maybe you could argue, for example, running backs are traditionally sort of the easiest position to jump into the NFL. Like, you just kind of got to pass protect a little, and when I hand you the ball, run like hell and don't let somebody touch you. Like, that may be a position where you could argue, they don't really need to redshirt a year. Wide receivers have become more instantaneous impact players of late, right? Maybe that's a
Absolutely.
Position.
But I also think they have a lot to learn in the offense. I mean, right? Like,
they would all benefit from
sure.
it. Every one of them would benefit from it. You know who would have benefited this year, for an example? Me thinking that all jobs... If Gerard Mayo weren't thrown out there to do all the duties that come with being the head coach...
He should be a redshirt head coach.
He should have been a redshirt head coach. I think there's a strong argument that could be made that he should have been a redshirt head coach.
Okay. I said the dumbest thing ever.
You did.
Okay. 617.
Some people agree with you.
7937.
There's a lot of dumb people out there, so it makes sense they would agree with your idiocy.
Evidently. We're all pretty dumb for thinking people should work when they get a big high-paying job, that they should go out and actually do
the job. Who said it's high-paying?
If you're a quarterback?
Maybe your salary is now backloaded in your first year. You make a rookie minimum.
Well, no. All right, fine. If we're just changing the rules of everything, I'm talking about the way
it would have to change the rules of everything. It's a new rule
right now. The way the salary structure is set up right now, you'd have to change
all that.
It wouldn't
be set up right now. Your redshirt year, you'd make $275K.
I feel like the Players Association would not be into that. I feel like that would be you might hit a roadblock.
If they were smart, if they looked at it the way Jeremy Swayman does with a long-term business-like approach, might say more of these guys would have bigger contracts for longer. It'd be good for everyone. The rising tide would lift all boats in that redshirt year.
Except it wouldn't, though, because a lot of those quarterbacks would flame out after that first year, or they'd
you
go with somebody
that?
Else
you
or something.
Of course.
You have no proof of this either way. It's hypothetical. There's no proof either way.
I have more proof.
I don't think you do, because there's a lot of quarterbacks who played their first year and they're doing just fine, like Tua, like Joe Burrow, like Josh Allen, like CJ Stroud, and so on.
How many Super Bowls have they won recently?
Not many. Fine, but I mean,
and the guy that's won all the Super Bowls recently, did he play his first year?
No, he didn't.
The guy that won all the Super Bowls before that, did he play his first year?
And he definitely would never have won a Super
Bowl, Your Honor.
If he had played his first year.
That's
come on,
math, that's science and history all wrapped up into one lesson for Christian Arcand. Now I'm a teacher. That person wanted us to teach. I just taught you a lesson.
Did Nick Foles play right away? I forget. Was he at first? Did he start his first
day? Barely should play when he played.
Well, he did win a Super Bowl, didn't he? So I don't know. I mean,
did he win one or did the Patriots lose one?
He won one. Nick Foles had a tremendous game. I don't remember what he did his rookie year. I don't know. I don't know if he had if he started and played right away. I feel like he probably didn't. But I don't know.
It's a backup quarterback who somehow beat Tom Brady in a shootout in the Super Bowl.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, I forget exactly how that went. He got drafted by the Eagles, though, right? Wasn't that his first team? And then he came back to him for the second stint when he ended up winning there. So anyway, with BC and their big night, Bill O'Brien, do you think this in some ways? I don't know if it vindicates him, but does it take some of the, just in terms of what he was dealing with last year here in New England, Bill Belichick's last year, it seemed like Bill O'Brien was not part of the solution, if that makes any sense. Does this vindicate him here, first win?
But it also proved that you got to have talent. He had a good quarterback that went out and played like a good quarterback, at least for last night. He had an offensive line that went out and played like a dominant offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
He had running backs that did their part. Yeah, I don't, I mean, vindication is strong. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that are starting to say maybe he's a college coach with his personality and his fire, and maybe that'll wear thin on pro guys, and maybe this will work better at the college level where you have a finite period of time with these guys. That's a long-term discussion for us to have. But in the local parts where people were sort of poo-pooing what he could do as a coach, well, he just went out and had a humiliating loss for Florida State, which means his team kicked ass and no one expected him to kick ass. So, yeah, he should be walking around like the cock of the walk today. Like, his chest should be held high because he's within the 24-hour rule.
Although right.
He's probably sleeping a lot of that off. What time did they get back? I mean, that had to have been a late return home to the Heights.
Well, after partying in Tallahassee all night.
That's what I would have done.
Oh, yeah.
Pulled a Urban Meyer. Hit some of the local, bet you there's some quality talent in the bars in that area.
Some are saying, I thought that Mayo was a redshirt head coach. So yeah, maybe that's, maybe that is what they're doing here. Maybe it is a red, just we don't, they're not being very upfront about it.
Nobody told him they're not actually doing any of the things he thinks. They're going with other people's decisions.
Yeah, could be that. Real quick, before we go to break here, Bill Belichick in his podcast on the Underdog Sports with, on the Underdogs, I sound like an old. And the Underdog Sports.
Where can I get this?
With Matt Patricia. You can get it on Underdog Fantasy. He was talking. We played the clip of him talking about the Jets and giving all that love to the Jets and their offense. Here's Bill Belichick with Matt Patricia right by his side discussing the Patriots and their offseason.
You can really see, you know, they did resign a lot of the players that we had, you know, brought there and had there, as they obviously liked those guys. And then, you know, a couple players that they didn't resign.
Well, Bourne resigning, Onwenu resigning. Stevenson had a year to go. They extended him. Henry was a re-signing. He's been a solid leader for him. Gottschall, they did, during training camp. Barmore was an extension in the offseason. He does look like he's going to play very much this year. Tavai is an extension. Duggar was a transition player. And Josh Uche. The guy that's not on that list, of course, is Matt Judon. Judon was traded down to Atlanta. And so that'll provide an opportunity for Uche, Tavai, and Jennings to take that spot that, you know, Judon would have had a lot of playing time at. So, we'll see how those guys do. But, a lot of guys came back. The additions were mainly draft choices.
So, yeah, and obviously Judon, a guy that we really liked and we enjoyed being around a lot. You know, good football player, very productive football player. So, you know, these guys are going to have to step in and try to, you know, fill that production out on the defensive side of the ball.
If I'm Bill Belichick going over all that and, like, watching this offseason, I'm thinking, you know, what'd you get rid of me for? You're re-signing all my guys. I'm such a bad drafter. You re-signed literally every single guy that I picked out here, and he named them all. I mean, he had that ready to go. He was didn't have to, like, check his notes or anything. He was like,
Bourne,
oh, yeah.
Re-signing, Onwenu re-signing. Stevenson had a year to go. They extended him. Henry was a re-signing.
He was right ready
just
to...
Just re-signing.
Re-signing. Uche, Duggar, blah, 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 blah. All my guys. These are all my guys, and I am very happy to talk about how these New England Patriots needed me out of the picture so badly. They needed me gone, but then they decided to go and re-sign all my guys. I sort of agree with them on some level. I do. I didn't think it made a lot of sense to re-sign all the old Bill guys if you're so insistent on moving on. And I was insistent. I thought it was the right thing to move on from Bill, but I didn't necessarily also mean that you should bring all his guys back when they're the team that comprised the 4-13 disaster of a season you saw last year.
Yeah, but if they didn't bring those guys back, they wouldn't have a team. We already think they're not a very talented football team, and if you removed Kyle Duggar, Hunter Henry, like, if you just remove those two right there.
Sure.
Aren't those significant blows to both sides of the ball?
Sure.
Oh, my God, do you drop off?
You do, unless you sign Justin Simmons, or, you know, if you instead of Ramondre Stevenson getting an extension, you go out and make a run at Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry or any of the other running backs who were out there. There were other guys you could have had. You didn't have to re-sign all your own guys.
I don't think you could have had some of those guys. I think there's a lot of guys that
wouldn't. They might have turned you down.
Saquon Barkley, you're probably going to have to offer $100 million before he even thinks about stepping into the Gillette Stadium locker room. I thought the interesting guy there was the beginning with Patricia. He has a confidence issue. He always has to tell you how smart and accomplished he is.
I know.
He's like, well, the guys that we brought there that they seem to like, our guys. Yeah. Like, okay, we get it. And you had the greatest play in the history of the Super Bowl on your resume. Like, he should just stand on his own two feet. He's had a pretty impressive career, right? He came from RPI and a low level of coaching to work his way up to become an NFL head coach.
They did resign a lot of the players that we had, you know, brought there. And
You got a mouse in your pocket? Brought him there.
He made the greatest play in the history of the Super Bowl, if you don't remember. Like, I mean, you know.
Just stand on your accomplishments. You don't need to fluff yourself. You don't need to tell everybody how great you are. Fluff yourself up. Relax over there. You're feeling yourself.
You got a fluffer to do that for you. is yes. Is generally how that works. And I agree. I mean, listen, you can't. You had to re-sign some of your guys. You couldn't go about that, but you still left. You still left with $40 million in space. And some of the guys that you re-signed on your own roster, you could have upgraded. You could have upgraded in free agency if you wanted to. There were names out there at positions that you re-signed your guys for.
And was
Xavier McKinney? You could have made a. You could have made a move for instead of Kyle Duggar. Like there's, you know, there were other players out there that I thought wouldn't have been. I wouldn't have had a problem if they had overspent on them. Let me put
and
it
you
that
have
way.
To have to remember that the head coach is the defensive coach, so some of these defensive guys are his guys that right. he's comfortable with and all of that. Just on the surface of what this is, this Matt Patricia, Bill Belichick fantasy dog thing mm-hmm. or whatever, I'm not interested really right now. He listed their transactions of the offseason.
Right.
There was literally no analysis there.
There wasn't. Yeah.
There was no insight, no...
I was waiting for them to be like, they're really going to suck this year.
Right. There was nothing there.
Yeah.
Like, you can get anybody to stand up there and read the transaction wire from the offseason. That was a massive nothing burger that he's probably making millions of dollars to do.
Probably. And how much of that
Good
do you think Matt Patricia's getting?
Not a lot.
Probably not. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. A little bonus baseball for you. As we get you ready for the Red Sox and the Mets, we will have a preview of that game. We'll hand things off to Cooper Boardman, I believe, is on a pregame with the Mass Mutual pregame show. That's coming up next. All right, we got a couple of minutes left here before we hand things off to Cooper Boardman and the Mass Mutual pregame show. So we decided, why not just bring Cooper Boardman in here and talk to us here about this Red Sox team in the middle of this free fall that they're in right now. Cooper, nice to see you in person.
It's a joy to be here. Not as much of a joy to have this conversation, but it's nice to see you guys.
It is nice to see us. Nice to be seen.
Yeah.
Nice to see you as well. It's not nice watching this Red Sox team as they continue their free fall into the month of September. You remember how last year went, obviously. It's looking a lot like last year. And I feel like a lot of people thought, especially before the All-Star break, this is going to be different. Like, this team was different. It was a different situation. Alex Cora was going to be treating it differently. The roster was different. It was not going to be like it had been the previous years. And now here we are, and it looks exactly the same.
It does. It does. And I am generally more positive than this. I am generally somebody... I know, it's hard, right?
Welcome to 2-6.
No, seriously, like, and I am a firm believer sitting here on September 3rd that this team is better than it was a year ago. Results aside, I mm-hmm. think the future is brighter and all of these things, but reality has come cold, hard, and fast over the last 10 to 15 days. You know, you can really dive into numbers. Like, they were probably lucky offensively for a lot of the year. That doesn't diminish some of the good things, but a lot of the analytical numbers would suggest they were a little bit lucky. Mm. And I think what's happened over the last 10, 15 days is more of a regression to where they probably should have been.
So they're a one-run baseball team.
Yeah, and I think they're better than that, but they haven't been.
Right, they are what they are. Now, I'm with you on the totality. I think that's Gerard Mayo's term as to why Jacoby Brissett won the job. The totality of the season, I feel better about this team. I feel like, and ending the season, I feel better about moving forward than I did a year ago. I think you can sell yourself on the young players, the young core. It's not just these guys down in the minor leagues that you have to kind of hope and project. No. There's actually young major league players, not as young as Christian would like them to be, some of them that are contributing, but Tanner Houck had a good year. My guess is he might have a better year next year thanks to what he accomplished this year and the longevity of everything. So there are some positives. The one negative that my partner here has been beating the drum against, and we'll talk to him tomorrow at 2:30 here on the afternoon program on WEEI, is at some point, do you look at the manager and say, why do your teams seem to fall apart down the stretch?
We did this for like an hour last night.
Ooh,
call after call. And I, you know, it's hard, like that and the defense, right? And those are the kinds of two things that I think I can have an organizational conversation about, a conversation about the manager as well.
Yeah.
And I think it's reasonable. And I think you can do that side of it. But you can also say the good young players, if you talk to any one of those human beings on the team, and you talk to the veterans on the team, who do they credit for it? Alex Cora.
Right.
So how do you weigh that? I think it's a legitimate conversation about how you weigh that. I have gone back and forth. And you know what? When you watch a game like last night, it's hard not to go forth, right? In that way. But shoot.
Go forth into the offseason.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's where you go from last night.
But it's true. And I think that is a very legitimate conversation. I still go back to personnel. I think people give the manager far more credit and blame than he deserves. I think it comes down to personnel, but I get it.
Yeah.
I get it too. But I also, when I hear people say that, I think, well, then what the hell you need a 3-year, $7 million extension for if the guy's getting credit for stuff that wasn't really even him in the first place? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. He gets the most out of his talent. The talent's not that great.
And
who's his best right-handed hitter?
Best right, Tyler O'Neill?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Is that good?
Rafaela?
Is that great?
No, I wouldn't say that's
okay.
great.
I wouldn't say that's great. Point made. No further questions,
Your
Honor.
Got a lot of good lefties on the team, though. Got a lot of good lefty hitters.
How does that work out?
They're
for
not hitting too well right now.
Even
though.
He's complaining about Fenway Park and the lack of home runs because the way the lineup is constructed.
That's true. All right, stick around. Cooper Boardman's got you with the Mass Mutual pregame show, which is coming your way right now. Red Sox and the Mets. As the Red Sox desperately need a win here, let's see if they can get one against the lefty. I'm not going on FanDuel and putting the mortgage on that. I'll tell you that for sure. I want to say thanks back there to Joe Braverman. Great job, Zach, as well. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll talk to you then right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
The plumber said we should do this, but damn it, I'm not doing what the plumber said. I know more than him. I actually Googled it, and I watched a video, and we're doing it this
way. You sound like some of my relatives during COVID right now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Norse Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Norse.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.